Lord, we bless and thank you for including us in on your army. You didn't let my selfishness exclude me from this great work. Rather, you tenderly called and equipped me to stand in the midst of torments, believing you would rescue our president. May all souls rally to your side, Jesus, and trust you for empowerment. Well, my dear ones, Ezekiel had a dream about President Trump that ended with a piercing hot poker going right through his heart that caused him to awake violently. And then the torment began. Everything in his body seized up, and the pain throughout his body was so intense. I can't tell you what it does to me to see that, but God is giving me strength to stand anyway. The dream began in a place looking like the historic district of Boston or Philadelphia. The buildings were early American red brick, and there was one particularly large building where a gala was going on. It was early evening, a mild night in early spring, as the trees had not yet set out foliage, but buds were peeking through the branches. President Trump was having a gala there. We were not invited to this event, but we were in the area, and we were observers, and our hotel was just across a red brick walkway from the celebration. We had been outside walking around and taking in the sights when Ezekiel became very sick, and we had to retire to our hotel room. As the pain worsened, he got very, very loud, as often happens. I had found a few bricks and a plank and made a little altar on the floor, placing clean linen and candles on it. This is something I do any place we stay in. We spend substantial time there at the altar. But all of a sudden, someone broke the door down to our room. And in came this dramatic SWAT team carrying arms and weapons and encircling us in the room. And when they saw the altar with the candles lit and they saw Ezekiel in bed crying out, they all put their weapons down and came over to him wanting to help. A few moments later, some Trump aides came in with two women, one of whom was his daughter. They were all very concerned for Ezekiel. Shortly after that, President Trump came in with three security guards and looked at Ezekiel, who said to him, "Donald, what are you doing here?" And just as an aside note, the two men recognized each other. Apparently, Donald knew Ezekiel and Ezekiel knew him. And this often happens, that in the spirit we meet up with people who are very significant in our life. Moving along. But before the president could answer, he caught sight of the altar on the floor and rushed to it, collapsing in tears. He actually had laid across it, and his head and elbows were on the floor on the other side of the altar. He sobbed and sobbed and sobbed for quite some time. Then he began to compose himself and made a gesture to get up. And two men came and lifted him up under the arms until he was standing, yet still a bit unsteady. He looked at Ezekiel and said, "I really needed that. I'm sorry for disturbing your evening." I had to laugh when Ezekiel told me that. Our evenings are always disturbed in the very same way. Then he turned to walk out and looked back at us and said, "Thank you for praying." And that was the end of the dream. Ezekiel perceived that at the gala he was really, really holding a lot down. And he went out to get some fresh air, this occasion of something unusual that he could hear going on next door, gave him the opportunity to step out into the evening air and just get away for a moment. He was holding so much down that when he saw that altar, the place where we go to give our lives to God and to plead with the Lord, he just couldn't hold it back anymore. He collapsed in prayer. I woke up this morning to find out that the NAFTA trade agreement crisis was coming up today. Dear ones, he so needs our prayers. This man is suffering internally, terrible attacks, unimaginable pain. He knows all the possibilities, and he is so distressed over our country. So much so that in the middle of all his superficial gala, he could no longer hold it in. He had to get out of there. And the dam of emotion and love for our nation and everyone in it finally burst. The Secret Service and aides just quietly waited in the background, knowing that something very important was transpiring between Donald and God. Heart dwellers, this is another call to prayer and sacrifice. Whatever you can give up in fasting or pleasures, please do it for the sake of this nation and the world. Someday you're going to look back and see the impact each one of you have had on the nation at its critical turn. I can tell you, we have all had a part in this battle. I'm beginning to understand, truly understand, the active role that Mary had at the crucifixion of her son, because she stood there in support of what he was doing, and yet she suffered terribly watching him suffer. In other words, her heart was one with his, and she was willing to suffer that for all of us. Because every time Ezekiel goes into one of these travails with these excruciating problems, I suffer with him to the point where I feel as though I'm going to collapse. I've tried to push through it and work with music and even study scriptures to get ready for a class or a lesson that I've been wanting to do, but I'm so torn up inside. Really, all I can do is cry and cry out, reenacting the Lord's Last Supper, the communion service to back President Trump, to give us strength to go on just one more day. And I have finally been thinking, dear family, why is it that certain prophets always have good and wonderful things to say about tomorrow? Breakthrough is coming, etc., etc. And I finally come to the understanding that there are Christians who love the Lord, but they're not carrying the entire weight of the world on their shoulders every day. They have a different function in the body of Christ, and they need encouragement too. Then there are Christians that have been called to die daily, seriously die, pick up their cross and follow Jesus. They truly have perceived this from the Lord to be their personal calling. And so that's what they do, and enter into the torment of travailing prayer, and the Lord sends others. So based on that presumption on my part, I'd say we're due for a break and a replacement. If that's not what he wants to give us, we will keep fighting and offering, and he will just have to strengthen us, because we are beyond ourselves in our ability to keep walking. For some, it's sickness. For others, it's serious marital problems. For others, it's discernment problems or problems with their children. Every one of us has some kind of agony we're going through, and every one of us can offer this up for President Trump and the success of his administration. Jesus told me, "You can choose not to do this, Claire, and you will lose nothing you've gained thus far." This was just before Ezekiel started into travailing prayer. "You will still be in heaven with me," Jesus continued. "You will still hear my voice and be my bride. I will not take anything I've given you thus far." That's what the Lord told me, and I thought, oh dear, what is this about? But it really doesn't matter, because I can't say no to him. Sometimes I say no to him on something little, but on the big things, I can't ever say no to him. So here I am in all my weakness, crying out every day for our nation and really unable to do much more, let alone music. When I hear Ezekiel go into travail like that, I can't sing or play. The pain is just too great. But we're going to win, heart dwellers. We're going to win. We are on the winning team. No matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what God allows them to throw at us and to land, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever lands on us is turned into a huge intercessory grace to lift the burden off of President Trump and help him win all of his battles. So let's keep fighting and sacrificing for our Lord. Let's not withdraw. Jesus, is there anything you wish to add? He began, "You know how difficult this has been. You know I am with you. You know you can never outgive me. You know I love you." And Ezekiel, "Is this too much to ask of you, Claire? I know it seems that way sometimes, but you're doing your part, and it is so important to me. And thus far, have I not given you the strength you need to go from day to day? Don't worry about music. I promise you that your time will come. You have tended to me in my infirmities, my body." And there he means my husband Ezekiel. "Lying there in your bed, broken, wounded, weak, and stripped. You have been faithful to what was most important. I will be faithful to sustain you and your whole crew. You have nothing to fear or worry about, Claire. All is covered for you. And I speak to your hearts, dear ones. All of you have a part to play in this. Your prayers ascending with hers and Ezekiel's and Carol's and mine and all the prayer team. Your prayers added together are an important part of what I am doing. And while you don't see or understand it right now, what you suffer for my sake is vastly more powerful than anything you could do through the ministry that I've given you or chosen for you to do. Music, painting, writing, all forms of expression do not hold a candle to intercession backed by suffering. This is tremendous personal loss, and you're giving it with great love. Know also that the God of witnesses is with you, cheering you on, watching your struggles, crying out on your behalf, and we hear their prayers." When he says we hear their prayers, he's speaking of the Holy Trinity. "Though they cannot suffer in heaven as they could have on earth, their hearts are also torn, seeing the dramas unfold every day, and no tear or cry of theirs goes unnoticed by my Father and I. And as I have taught you before, one authentic sigh of your heart and the incense of prayer goes up to the throne, where my Father responds by sending grace. Holy Spirit permeates all of creation, and each soul that cries out comes before my Father in heaven, even as I too cry out. You are not alone in your sufferings and battles, for when one member of the body suffers, all suffer. I have put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." He's quoting from 1 Corinthians 12. "Therefore is not the cloud of witnesses part of my body? Indeed it is written. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all of God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with these prayers, went up before God from the angel's hand." That's Revelation 8, 3 and 4. "And again, when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they had upheld. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge those who live on the earth and avenge our blood?'" That's Revelation 6:10. That was a personal prayer they cried out for me, to avenge their blood. And so at that point I had a question. I said, "But Lord, aren't those who have shed their earthly tent no longer part of the body?" He quoted 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a member of it." Then he said, "Where is that written, Claire, that you cease to be part of the body of Christ when you're in heaven?" I don't know, Lord. It's just a tradition accepted. He broke in and he said, in error, it's an error. Are not all my apostles busy about my work in heaven? Have they ever ceased to be a part of the body? Are they not still functioning as apostles? Is it not written in that same place, now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a part of it? And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, guidance, and all different kinds of tongues. I tell you the truth, Claire, and for all of you who will accept it. How can Peter, James, John, and Paul still be apostles and not be aware of what is happening on earth in the church? Do you think they suffer when they see what's happening on the earth? Do you think they cry out? Of course they do. Once an apostle, always an apostle, for better or for worse. Everyone in heaven is serving the needs of those on earth in one way or another, until my kingdom is finally established on earth. So until that happens, all groan inwardly with me in what I suffer, watching the corruption and sin on the earth. That groan is recorded by the angels as a prayer, as it is written. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. That's Romans 8:26. And there is calling groans prayers. Wow, that ties in. The bottom line, Claire, when you groan over the plight of another, you have just called upon the Father to assist them. In short, you have prayed for them. So all who groan in heaven have sent forth prayers, if not explicit verbally, in the form of groans, and the Father hears them. I have told you before, you will be denounced and hated for this teaching. But what is that to you? You are already hated. As long as I'm happy with you, Claire, pay no mind to the detractors. If you understand these things and put them into practice, blessed will you be. Well, Lord, how do we put them into practice? For now, it is enough for you to know and be aware of. The enemy has many counterfeits, and before I complete this teaching for you to share, I will speak of these things, that you not be led astray by doctrines of demons or so-called reformers who lacked understanding. My precious daughter, all Christians in heaven or on earth are crying out to the Father in this hour that what is good will triumph over the insidious evils of the past. And when I say all on earth and in heaven, I do mean all. But for you now, my people, rend your hearts in supplication, for the hour is supercritical, and I need you all. And I need all you can give for me to deliver this evil. These are the feet and toes of iron and clay my prophet Daniel talked about. They exist now in this time, but they are being restrained until my Father determines, and then they will oppress and rule the earth. You are to stand in the gap now to prevent this until the appointed hour, that it does not come prematurely. Indeed, it is already past, but the mercy cried out from the blood of the slain and suffering on this earth. My Father has heard these prayers and extended the time and has appointed you and all who care to stand in the gap until that fateful hour. In the meantime, thousands who were going to hell have been and will be converted and added to the kingdom. Persevere, my daughter, persevere. Do not let the time pass without shedding all your tears on our behalf. Travail, my people, travail. This hour is critical.